Papers can make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. But kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It's time for the sports page on the Friday morning show, and we're not pulling up a chair to anyone's kitchen table. We're going to talk sports. It's a little bit dark. We got John Bauer, Kyle Erickson, Fred Friedman. Let's talk about the Lynx first, because there's a tiny bit of good news there that they won at least one other game. Right, Fred?
Sure.
A ray of sunshine through your radio.
Oh my gosh. And they're playing Sunday night at Target Center.
Yeah. So we had talked about how the defense was the part that was really holding the Lynx back in the early going. And in their win, they held the Liberty to 13 fourth quarter points, which is some lockdown defense. So hopefully that's a good harbinger, an omen of a good omen. Mm.
I haven't been able to watch one game saw.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know how it's going, but if anybody can jack them up and get them motivated, it's old Coach Cleats. Reeves.
Cleats?
Well, just a,
that's what
just,
they call
just
it?
A phrase.
Well,
no,
got
they
a
don't
great,
call
it.
I've never heard that phrase.
Yeah. Cleats?
No.
They've
oh,
got
my
a
gosh.
Great coaching. I mean, they've got...
Yeah, Brunson.
Right.
Reeves. She's going to coach the Olympics.
Well, and... She was also a former WNBA player. You know who, who am I talking about, Fred?
Oh, she used to be with the Lynx. Or
yeah.
When they first started out.
And then they've also
come
got
on.
Planet.
Leading scorer.
They've got three former players that are on there. So, okay. Anyway, they're playing Sunday night. They're starting to gel together. They did all this crazy shenanigans. People out, people in. Just coming back from Europe to play. Brittany Griner still detained. So
nobody's talking about it. Okay, Fred, let's go back to Brittany a little bit later on, but I received a very alarming text last night. It was two words. What did it say?
Twins suck.
Okay.
And they do. And they do.
They're
two
in
consecutive
first
games,
place,
bases
Fred.
Loaded, nobody out, and the bullpen's horrible. Check out Taylor Rogers' statistics.
Yeah,
we traded him for a guy named Paddock who will not be available for two seasons, and a guy named Pagan who all he does is raise my blood pressure. So, and I remind you, this is the same team that last year traded for a guy named Dyson for San Francisco while he had bad medicals and while he was under investigation for domestic assault for which he was charged and banned from baseball. And now pitching for Tijuana. I'm making none of that up, everybody.
Yeah, that's the hard part to stomach, is that Taylor Rogers has been the best relief pitcher in the National League.
In all of baseball. Yeah.
And the Twins knew, everybody knew that Chris Paddock had a partial UCL tear when they traded for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's baffling to me. But Fred, come on, your Minnesota Twins are in first place. Last night was a horrible, frustrating game to watch. And the worst part for me was seeing Rocco Baldelli pull Devin Smeltzer after seven shutout innings and throwing only 80 pitches for loud.
Two hits?
Yep, six strikeouts.
It's just ridiculous.
Not laboring at all. And if they had
a book that doesn't exist,
yeah. If they throw
up hitters up there. All they got to do is hit a fly ball, while we send down a kid that hit 309 in the major leagues,
right.
And then he got 409 in the minors, right? And I'm telling you guys, you cannot play the two catchers at the same time. Can't play it because then you can't pinch run.
Yeah. Yep, the Twins have had to date the easiest schedule in all of Major League Baseball, and this is why they need to be making hay while the sun shines, because it's going to balance out over time, and having the bullpen blow back to back games against bottom dwellers is not the way to a pennant. But they're still in first place. It's still better than any of us thought they'd be doing this year.
Especially with Byron Buxton now like 0-for-1 for 30 or something, 35?
Brutal. That's just brutal.
How does that
happen?
They're
in first place because the White Sox are all injured. That's my theory.
Yeah, that's half of it.
This just in from Katie Smith. Sorry, I forgot
her name. Katie Smith,
yes,
yeah. Okay. One of the all-time leading scorers.
She's the, one of the assistant coach of the Lynx.
Collective transient amnesia in the booth this morning. I can't believe none of us could pull that name out. Yeah.
So, that's a great band name, by the way.
Hey, what's going on with this? Is COVID the responsibility for us playing all these interleague games? Or has the schedules changed because of COVID? Is that wrong?
I don't know.
Well, we're playing some...
I don't know.
I mean, we're going to play Kansas City like 14 times in the first month. And that's never, ever been, has it? Help me.
I don't know.
We'll have to get our research team going on that.
The good news is everybody has the DH, so we're not changing rules when we go in.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that is definitely a positive.
And I did not know they put somebody in the at second base in the 10th inning still, huh?
Yeah, they walked that back. God, they had said they're going to do with that awful rule and then changed their change and went back to it.
So let's talk a little
making the chances of a visiting team winning a road game at 12% right now in extra innings. A visiting team winning a game in extra innings right now is at 12%.
Oh, okay. What's going on in the NBA? Did Golden State win last
night? Golden State won.
They're in the finals. They'll probably play Boston. Boston's way up in Miami. Miami has injuries, other kinds of problems. They're not scoring.
Okay, that's two. That's two. Who are the other two?
No, that's
it. Yeah, Golden State thumped Dallas 4-1. And as Fred said, Miami is wrestling with some injuries. And so... it should be a fun finals. Boston is a very, very good defensive team. They've got, if he's fully healthy, Marcus Smart is the defensive player of the year against a finally healthy offensive juggernaut in Golden State, who is still definitively the team to beat.
Yeah, it's nice to see Wiggins doing well. Okay, let's move on to hockey. Hockey is crazy fun to watch. I'm sorry. They just go so hard. And I was watching the Calgary game last night late, and I saw a tip in. When they tipped, I golf with a lot of really good ex-hockey players, and they just talk about the gift of them being able to deflect a puck that's like 100 miles an hour. And there was one last night where the guy's back was facing him, and he tipped it, and it went up in the upper corner. I know some of it's luck. But it's also a lot of skill, and I don't know. Hockey playoffs have been great.
Hey, I got a good idea. Why doesn't the hockey coaches take out their superstars, their best players, with 58 minutes to go or 6 minutes to go in the third period?
Rest them.
Put in some people that aren't good enough to play. Why don't we do that like Major League managers do?
I know. That's a very good point. Fred, you should write an article like that for the New Yorker. I'm not kidding you.
Can you imagine, say, Tampa Bay being up 2 touchdowns with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and they pull Tom Brady?
Oh yeah,
put
that's
their
what
back
it
up
is.
Quarter.
Well, I don't want to get you don't want him to get hurt.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what's going on.
Here's probably the most interesting news I saw this past week. The University of Nebraska is no longer allowed to release balloons on the first touchdown, first score.
I didn't know they did that.
Yes.
And I didn't know they weren't allowed to do that.
When I'm reading this article...
Bad for the environment?
No. When I'm reading this article, I'm thinking it's because of the environment. But no. What goes into balloons to make them float?
Helium.
There's a shortage of helium in the world.
Well,
it's not about the environment.
It's like sucker minerals and helium.
I'm sorry, guys. I know we're hell having a good time, but I got to say this. Not since the 40s, not since segregations... his politics and sports intersected so much. Steve Kerr goes off on all these horrible, horrible mass shootings. Yeah. Keep in mind, Coach Kerr, the Warriors, lost his dad to an assassination in Lebanon. And Brittany Griner is locked up. Does anybody really think that an NBA star would be locked up in Russia and we wouldn't get him out? Does anybody really think that?
No.
Yeah, well, it's just quiet.
I don't know if anybody saw Coach Reeves before the last game.
I did.
Yeah, she was crying, and man, they work really hard in issues like this, social justice issues, and it's just, it's great to see people, some of these coaches really addressing what's going on.
Yeah,
Well, I think the WNBA has to end their relationship with Russia. What do you think of that?
Oh,
that's
gosh,
what it's going to go crazy. So. When players go over there next year,
yeah,
while Griner's locked up.
We got to get her back and then do it, then end it.
Yep.
And then we also have
I agree with that.
We have another controversial thing. Old Josh Donaldson was shooting his mouth off a little bit too much, Fred.
Stupid. It was a stupid comment he made. You know, he could say, I'm sorry. He could say this. He crossed the line. It's as simple as that. For people that don't know, there's a player in the White Sox, African-American shortstop, who says there's so few black people here, trying to be the next, the Jackie Robinson of this generation. And Donaldson, who I must say is from Alabama, yeah, they've had troubles before, those two players, and he keeps calling him Jackie. And people didn't like it. Anderson's teammates didn't like it. The people that count don't like it, didn't like it. The MLB didn't like it. So they suspended Donaldson for a game.
One game. And he's appealing.
Yeah, that's the, you know, but don't worry. Let's take 60 games out if you're taking diuretics, right?
Yeah.
That costs you 60.
Yeah, that's a, okay. All right, Heidi. What is the theme today?
Oh, we also want, Lori's giving me some updates. We are texting back and forth about Nafisha Collier had her baby.
Oh.
So we're expecting her back. And
boy or a girl?
Girl.
Wonderful.
Little girl, yeah.
Congratulations.
Mila Sarah Bazell is her name. And also, we both are enjoying watching Kayla McBride. So if you can catch the game Sunday night.
Yeah, she's good.
Hone in on Kayla there. So who like, I think had, what, 2 hours in between playing in Europe?
And jet lag.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, are you ready for trivia?
Sure.
The theme for this week is some memorable and not so memorable sports trades.
Trades. Oh, Fred's on
love
that
it.
One.
For example, in 2007, the Timberwolves traded Kevin Garnett to Boston for 5 players and 2 draft picks. In June 1964, the Twins traded pitcher Lee Stang and utility player George Banks to Cleveland for a player that helped them win the 1965 pennant. Who is that player?
Mudcat Grant.
Did we answer the first one? I'm sorry, I was...
That was just an example.
Okay, all right.
Yes. Center Ed McCauley and forward Cliff Hagan were two players involved in one of the most consequential trades in NBA history. Who was the other player involved in that trade?
Bill Russell.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
1956, the Celtics traded McCauley and Hagan to St. Louis for the rights to draft Bill Russell.
Good choice.
After the 1960 season, the Vikings traded 2 draft picks to the Cleveland Browns for a player who became one of the greatest Vikings of all time.
Jim Marshall.
Yeah. Maybe,
I got to say this. If Jim Marshall played on either coast, he would have been in the Hall of Fame 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's another crime, I tell you.
Up next, a question that is when you were alive, so that's good.
Okay,
Kyle.
We're getting warmer.
Okay. In 1989, the Montreal Expos acquired pitcher Mark Langston and 4 other players from the Seattle Mariners for what future Hall of Famer?
Randy the Big Unit Johnson.
Johnson.
That's his nickname?
That's his nickname.
Oh, boy.
He was 6'11".
Okay.
And he also killed a seagull in a pitch once.
Oh, wow.
Remember that?
That was wild. I was watching the game when it happened.
The seagull blew up. I mean, not for animal.
What 2 future baseball Hall of Famers did the Seattle Mariners trade away in 1998 and 2000?
Oh, boy. I suppose Ken Griffey Jr.?
Yeah.
Where'd he go?
And?
Cincinnati.
What's his name?
Randy Johnson.
Yeah, Randy Johnson. The big unit?
Randy Johnson.
The big unit.
That's crazy. Kyle and John first. Baseball owner Harry Frazee got $125,000 and no players in this trade.
He trade a coach?
This is one of the greatest trivia questions of all time, guys.
Oh, I should know this. It's not
a classic.
Is that he traded for Babe Ruth?
Yes, he sold Babe Ruth.
But it's what he got.
To the Yankees.
Heidi, it's what he got. He traded it so for the money so he could put on a Broadway play called No, No, Nanette.
Oh my God. No, Nanette. Wow.
And Ruth was the greatest. Ruth was the best left-handed pitcher in baseball at the time. That's why he's the greatest player of all time, because he'd be a Hall of Famer if he never hit a home run.
How long did Babe Ruth pitch before they decided to stop him?
Middle of 1914 and then the start of the 1921 season.
So how long did he pitch?
7 years?
Six, seven years.
Okay, and why did they do that? It was just too taxing on that svelte body?
No. Well, he was skinny until the early 30s.
Okay.
No, they just they had no DH, and they just wanted him in the lineup every day.
Can you imagine the Angels trading Shohei Ohtani to fund a revival of Cats?
Yeah, that's what it was. That's very good, Kyle.
That is just
bonkers. You can't beat this. This is journalism at its finest.
No, Nanette. Here we go. In 2009, who were the two players involved in a trade between the Twins and the Brewers? One was a center fielder, the other a shortstop.
Oh, Carlos Gomez.
Was that Gomez?
Yep.
Was that Gomez?
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, man.
I don't know.
J.J. Hardy.
There we go. Kyle got
Hardy.
It. In 1996, the Timberwolves traded their number one pick to the Milwaukee Bucks for the Bucks' number one pick. Who were the players involved?
They traded Ray
one
Allen.
One was Ray Allen.
Stephon Marbury.
Yep.
Whoops.
After the 1978 season, who did the Twins trade for outfielder Ken Landro, catcher Dave Engel, and pitchers Paul Hartzell and Brad Havens?
Oh, my gosh. Those are some names from the past. What year
did
was this?
Trade away?
78. Yeah.
Burt Blylevin?
No, Rod Carew.
Rod Carew.
Good one, Fred.
And finally, during the 1990 season, what future Hall of Famer did the Yankees trade to the Angels for pitcher Mike Witt?
Future Hall of Famer.
I have a hint.
God, I don't know these. You guys are...
Let me know if you need a hint.
I think we do.
Former hint.
Former Gopher.
Dave Winfield.
Yeah, there we go.
Hey, Fred, what's the all-time worst trade ever in any sport, in your mind? The Babe Ruth one?
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I'd say probably the Cincinnati Reds, like Frank Robinson, was all done at 31, and trading him for... I don't know. Who was it? Brulio? I can't remember. Milt Pappas.
Whoa.
And Frank Robinson wins the Triple Crown the next year.
Kyle, parting thought on worst trade ever?
Worst trade? Oh, man.
Maybe we'll have to take it up.
Well, that's slow cooker stuff, not microwave stuff.
I'll tell you the worst trade in Minnesota history, right?
Yeah,
that's where we gave up 10 years of players and a couple of playoff
Herschel Walker.
To get a guy that's now running for Senate with a domestic assault record.
And a lot more.
Yeah, right.
And his first run back, he lost his shoe, and we lost everything. Thanks, Fred. Thanks, Kyle. Thanks, Heidi.
Welcome, guys. Take care.
See ya.
It's the Friday Morning Show on KAXE, KBXE.